Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy. Like we've been doing all this time.
I'm trying so hard not to giggle. Dear Lord, this is difficult. Hi.
We entertained ourselves with the pre-show.
Just go back on today. Today's Tuesday. Go back on our tweets and you'll see why. So, wrestling
happened.
Is back, and Joel is back. Joel took a 1 week hiatus, you know, because he had a busy week and everything, and we're glad you're back, Joel.
Okay, to be fair, I was on the podcast last week.
Well, yeah.
For a little bit.
Because you edited yourself in, just because we were making fun of poor Joel over here a little bit too much. It's all a good rip, sir.
A little too much is the defining thing. Like, I don't mind the humorous jests, but... This was Classy Joel Time Podcast. Extensive backstory included.
That's a whole other podcast that we need to make. Classy Joel Time Podcast?
Yes.
But. Joel's back with us from the big stage.
Joel's back, and many thanks to Blair for doing a fantastic job.
Absolutely. Our podcast last week was pretty fantastic, and it's safe to say that very little of it was because of me.
No, absolutely. So, thank you once again, Blair.
Agree, dude.
No, we gotta be nice to Blair. We gotta have him on again.
Okay. Yeah, Blair was awesome. Blair was great.
Yeah, thumbs absolutely. In the upwardly direction.
Woo. All right, so, wrestling. It's been a crazy week.
It has been.
Last week we talked about the whole Tea Party supporters getting all up in arms over the Jack Swagger's Coulter thing, and then we got... that nice little gem of Swagger getting pulled over and arrested for DUI and possession. And then we get the Glenn Beck into the whole mix. And then we have the actual Raw itself. So there's a lot to consume here. So, Joel, why don't you...
Okay. So I, from pretty much the offset, was not excited about this Jack Swagger.
No, not at all. Matter of fact, I was very much against this happening.
And honestly, like, I think there's definitely potential for Swagger to be probably not a main event star forever, but like...
for right now.
You know, to definitely be able to have a heavyweight championship match at WrestleMania that's worth having.
Right.
He'll be a fine guy to carry the belt for a while, should they ever put it on him.
Pretty
so,
much.
Like, I'm not against Swagger being in that top tier of wrestler, but I didn't really like this character.
No.
And not because for any, like, I'm for or against or blah-de-blah political views, whatever. There's just, like, I don't want to listen to basically the same promo for a month and a half.
Right.
And...
but I think that's part of the... reason that Zev's been so good so far is he obviously has a lot of talent when it comes to being a manager.
Yeah.
He's been a manager for years and years. And he's a really good speaker. So really it falls on him to really find some way to, I don't know, change it up or do something with their message to where it's not the same thing that we hear every week. And right. On the flip side, you also there's a lot to put on Del Rio's shoulders with this because I'm going to get bored quickly if we get that inspirational speech that he gave Monday night over and over and over again.
Right.
Dear Lord, I barely made it through that one.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they balance it all out.
This is always a little bit of a problem around WrestleMania just because the buildup is
right.
Rumble to Mania.
It's one of those things where like, they're wanting to build a card quickly so they can promote it, but that also means they have a longer period of time where they have to play out the story.
Right. Same thing for this Sheamus and Wade Barrett thing. I'd probably be okay with those two guys fighting each other.
But
I am tired of their promos already.
But is Sheamus doing a Wade Barrett feud, or is he doing a Shield feud?
I don't know. I mean, Shield is probably going to be Shield versus the three faces who don't have anything else to do.
Right.
And I was going to say that those were Ryback, Orton, and Jericho.
Okay. Well, I mean, well, yeah. That I don't know. It just seemed like Sheamus was kind of at the helm of it this week.
He was, but he spent 2 weeks complaining about Wade Barrett acting.
And the Shield is kind of they're getting the rotation of faces that don't really have anything else to do.
Right.
You know? Which just seems to always be Ryback and then whoever else.
Right. I mean, the other option is that Jericho will be facing Ziggler for some sort of redemption.
Which I'm okay with.
Thing. Which I'd be okay with, too, and that would have a space free if you want to stick Sheamus in there. I mean, the thing is, because WrestleMania is so part-time heavy with The Rock and with Brock and mm-hmm. with probably Undertaker and Triple H, there's just, you know, there's guys like the guys who make up the Shield and like Ryback, there's your weekly guys who are pushed to the side
right.
for this kind of stuff. And there's so many of those right now, and like with the Shield, there's not a whole lot for them to do. And if, you know, I would feel like the Shield is at serious risk of falling off the map of relevancy if they didn't keep winning. Like, that's the right. only thing
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
that really keeps them relevant is that they're winning, and they're winning against big faces.
Right.
So, but it's still very possible to see that's all just a build-up.
But, I mean, this is the one time of year where SmackDown could potentially be really good. Because, you know, essentially all the guys that they don't have time to get to on Raw, they put on SmackDown.
Right.
So.
But Raw's 3 hours now. For Raw, the first time, they're building up to Mania with a 3-hour weekly Raw. So.
I would see, because there's a lot of, I've heard a lot of talk about maybe them going back to the 2-hour Raw at the end of the summer. Basically giving it a 1-year run.
Yeah.
I would be interested if they kept it at 2 hours, had their occasional 3-hour shows, and then WrestleMania season go back to 3 hours just for that.
Yeah.
Because it seems, at this time I can almost justify seeing them go 3 hours.
Sometimes. 3 hours is like,
I mean, of course, like a couple weeks from now, we'll be singing a different tune because we're going to be seeing the same thing over and over
again. Yeah.
But I don't know.
I mean, I'm used to 3 hours right now.
Right.
And like, that's something like I adapted very quickly to mm-hmm. it being 3 hours. And so 2-hour shows feel short to me.
Yeah.
Which I would not have expected.
A year ago we would have said, you know, Lord, these 2-hour episodes feel like forever.
2-hour shows felt like a stretch.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, but 3-hour shows don't feel that much more of a stretch than the 2-hour shows did.
I guess.
It feels like the a similar percentage of the amount of the show is still worth watching.
Right. I feel like, I don't know, those like 1 or 2 episodes right around the time when they went to 3 hours, where I felt like it was a little bit stretched, a little bit just...
Yeah.
Like something was missing. Now, it seems like they've kind of gotten into a better rhythm. I don't know if that's, you know, translating into ratings or anything, but I don't know. I'm with you. Like, I'm used to it now. I'm fine with it. I don't see anything wrong.
I mean, and I would be fine if... You know, going back to 2 hours makes 2 hours feel really action-packed and really important and stuff. But I suspect that it'll be like that for the first couple of weeks. If they go back to 2 hours, the first 3 episodes will feel like they're just slammed with content, and then it'll kind of get back to this, you know. Maybe 40% of the show is really worth watching.
Right.
You know, and it's just, that's kind of this constant that I don't think it's going to ever leave from. Regardless of how much, it's on air.
Because the 3 hours now is gonna feel so much better than, I would say, 3 hours about 3 or 4 weeks after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
When we get right into that pocket of suck.
We have not experienced the pocket of suck.
No.
Now, I mean, I think pocket of suck was largely sidestepped this year. Part of that was that right after Mania is when Brock came back.
Right after, we had that, we had,
and then we had CM Punk right. and Daniel Bryan, which, you know, carried us over, you know, and that's
but it easily could have gone south with the whole John Laurinaitis thing.
Yeah.
that could have easily made things a lot suckier.
And so, I'm wondering how, if, you know, question mark, there is stuff to do in that pocket of time frame.
I think there can be.
And, you know, there's stuff like, we're all assuming that Rock is going to lose the championship at WrestleMania.
Right.
You know, that's almost a foregone conclusion, but does he get a rematch? So, you know.
Oh, you're talking like Extreme Rules?
Yeah, so there has been advertising for Extreme Rules where The Rock has been advertised.
Right. I mean, and that makes sense, you know.
You know, so, well, that makes sense. I really would be surprised if they would have The Rock lose 2 months in a row.
Yeah, I don't know how they would play that off.
I don't know.
You know, and we, you know, Rock's definitely not going to go to a, not even a once a month schedule.
Mm-mm.
You know?
No, I mean, he'll be back in time. He'll probably be back for maybe SummerSlam or Survivor Series and then back for WrestleMania season again.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I'm starting to assume that we're going to get Brock and Rock for 30.
Yeah, yeah.
As I start, I'm already.
It seems like that kind of that something that they're going to want to happen.
Yeah.
Especially since they, you know, they've already confirmed that Rock's going to be back for another year. Brock is going to be back for what, another two years?
2 years. For okay. Brock.
Yeah, so it seems like something that's definitely something they want to do.
Like, I'm starting to, you know, put together my WrestleMania 30 fantasy card.
They haven't even put together the 29 wheel card.
I know. But, you know, just, you know, kind of eyeballing.
Right, go ahead and get
stuff
an eye,
you know,
for what's going to be happening. Fair enough. Fine.
I mean, you're going to put Stone Cold CM Punk on your WrestleMania 30 card, aren't you? Like, because it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year, so you're just going to roll it over.
I mean, aren't you going to do the same?
I didn't put it on this year.
Okay, well, then
so.
I don't know, like, I don't know if we're getting to that point where we're missing the window for that.
I don't know. I mean, you know, and we'll get to this later in the podcast, but, like, I could really see if they, a John Cena CM Punk WrestleMania 30 match, especially if they, like, don't do anything with that rivalry between now and then, you know, hold off for a year, because that's your Rock and Stone Cold for this
essentially
generation.
yeah,
you know, that it's Superman and Batman. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
So, you do that, Punk kind of swindles back into kind of his half-a-face mode.
Right.
You know? Just because I don't think he can keep up this heel persona another year.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where it's like, how is he going to find a way to get more and more heat from the fans? Because now we're getting to the point where fans are just like, oh, we don't care, we're still going to cheer for him. He's
no.
Fantastic.
Yeah, his
you know?
Fans are too loud.
Right.
And, you know, and it's a thing where it's only going to be so long. And I don't think, I think no matter how heelish his antics are, he's going to force a face turn.
Yeah. And I'm hoping for a more natural face turn than what we had last time. Last time it just seemed a little bit too forced.
Really?
Sometimes. I don't know.
There were times, I think his face turn. Well, I'm going to say his face turn happened at Money in the Bank. Just the cheers he got at Money in the Bank never went away. Like he
really
got,
wasn't the promo?
Or
at least the promo like laid the groundwork for it.
It laid the groundwork for it, and but like he was still having heelish antics after the promo. Like he had several times after that promo where he was trying to be a heel, trying to get boos. But Chicago, Money in the Bank, there's no way that you could deny that he was he was the face and CM Punk was Cena was the heel.
Oh yeah.
For that match. And those cheers have fallen, you know, he got that level of cheer when he came back and in the champion versus champion match and onward until he came back to Chicago and said, "I'm not wrestling tonight."
Yeah.
Like that was the first time where they're like, "Oh, there's genuine boos going on now." Like, even when he turned heel, they're like, "Ah, we got cheer anyway, whatever." So.
Fair enough. I don't know. I don't know if, like, there's just something that his entire face run just seemed off to
there,
me.
There was time there in the middle where he became kind of a pandery face.
Right.
And that didn't feel like CM Punk.
No. I mean, I think for him to be a face, he still needs to be able to pretty much go out there and say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like they kind of, I don't know, they kind of had a leash on him, I think, a little bit. Just be like, okay, you're going to need to get cheers from the fans kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. Also, CM Punk versus heels, that's really the problem, is that doesn't feel as organic as CM Punk versus faces.
Yeah.
It's not...
That was, yeah.
It's not this idea that CM Punk makes a great heel, but I think he makes a great competitor for faces.
Yeah. His heel work is fantastic. Not saying that his face work isn't. You know, they're both really good. I don't know. There's something about his heel
work. His heel work is fantastic, and it's just, I like him too much.
Right.
You know?
I mean, to be honest with you, his antics in this last match at Elimination Chamber was fantastic. Like, it reminded me of, like, old school, like, heel Shawn Michaels, like, just being that really cocky jerk
yeah.
in the ring. It's entertaining, and, you know, seeing him in just in a straight-up serious match, like, on Raw, was, you know, fantastic as well. Like, I don't know.
Which I like, too. I mean, I've said it before, too often, heel means coward now.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of that, you know.
Yeah. I would like, okay, there we go. If CM Punk stays heel, do away with the coward thing. Or,
yeah.
or sneaking out of matches or something like that.
Yeah.
Do away with that.
And so, But no. I'm ready to talk about that match that ended Raw.
Okay.
Because it's at the end of the Raw, but we've got to talk about it now. Because I've watched it, I think, two more times since Raw happened.
I've only watched it last night. No, it was But, yeah. I mean, it was, not that I haven't, I just haven't had time to.
Match of the year. So far, match of the year, yeah.
I mean, well, it's, you know, easy to say that in February.
No, it is. I don't know if it will be match of the year
right.
in December.
But it would take quite a bit
But there's been two pay-per-views, and a Raw match is match of the year.
Yeah.
You've had The Rock in two championship matches, and the match of the year was on Raw.
I could agree with that. It'll be interesting to see if anything at WrestleMania itself, you know, out does that.
Oh, it very well might.
To be honest with you, like, now that Cena won cleanly, and see, that match does Cena a ton of favors, because one, that makes you feel like Cena actually did legitimately earn his title shot.
Yeah.
After this, also with the Royal Rumble, he kind of paid his dues. And it was, and you know, Punk himself, he looked stronger as well.
He looked fantastic in that match.
Right.
And that's a big thing, is that you almost never get a clean win that puts over both competitors.
Exactly. And I feel like that's exactly what happened
and
here.
It did that.
Now, going forward with such a clean, like, the way the match ended, it's a very clean break for Punk. That breaks him off and separates him from the title picture, let him concentrate on whatever is going on with what he's going to do next, which a lot of people were saying Undertaker. And that's something I've been thinking about, like, I'm really kind of excited about that. Initially, I was kind of, like, iffy about it, just because, like, it would be kind of better if he was in the title picture or if Stone Cold came back. But then again, I'm like, Taker does really great promos, really great packages and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Punk does amazing promos himself. We saw a little bit of this back on SmackDown a few years back when Punk was the heavyweight champion. I have a lot of high hopes seeing the two of them go against each other.
I mean,
I think it'll be a good program to run.
If you, like, were just pitching, like, these are the matches that will happen throughout the rest of the year, I would say, just based on who's in them, I would say that Undertaker versus Punk would be a match of the year.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because Undertaker, the streak match from this point on, will always be a match of the year contender.
The guy
has to wrestle one match a year, he throws his all into this one match, and to put that in with Punk, who, you know, right now, we, you know, 2 weeks ago, went on about this forever, but I'll, you know, I'll say that Punk should, you know, could almost be in every match of the year contender.
Yeah, pretty much. Do you want to move on to Undertaker? Do you have a few more things to say about Punk and Cena?
About Punk and Cena? I don't know. The one problem with this match, it doesn't make me excited to see The Rock at all. This match made me want those guys to fight title at WrestleMania.
It made you
want
to see that match again, which would be genius for them to kind of keep those guys separated until WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, which is what, I mean, that's what I do. Because, like, as soon as that match was over, I was like, I want to see these guys for the title. Like, an Iron Man match. Okay, like, can you imagine that?
Oh, Cena would be gassed.
Oh, he would. Like
30 minutes. 30, 45, so somewhere in there.
Yeah, no, I'd do a 30.
I mean, granted, you know, most guys would be gassed after.
Right.
For an Iron Man match.
So. I mean, but that's the thing, is like, just, I don't know, that really kind of screams justifiable climax to this rivalry, which, right, for better or for worse, is the premier rivalry of the company.
Of the guys who are, like, steady with company? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing, is, like, right now, I don't care about The Rock.
No.
The Rock is the worst part of any storyline going on right now.
Just because it's not what we saw this Monday night.
Right. And The Rock...
And we've seen what he's done lately, you know.
Right. I read an article a few weeks ago that mathematically, quote-unquote mathematically, proved that The Rock is, like, a former shell of the wrestler he once was. And this is on top of The Rock was not top-tier in-ring performer ever.
Right.
Like, he is...
He's always more of a character.
Character, right. Mike Mann, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And you know, he was good in the ring, but there's guys who are easily...
He came in, hit his spots, and, you know.
Yeah. The way it was mathematically, quote-unquote, proven was it took the Elimination Chamber match, is X amount of time, it compared it to a Rock versus Jericho match from, I think, Royal Rumble from back in the day.
Right.
Similar amount of time, and said The Rock worked X minutes out of the full match, then X minutes out of the full match now. And defined, like, I consider working, you know, any of these things.
Right.
And
he's not really being on the offensive, I would think.
Being on the offensive, I think it was even, like, taking a hit. It was anything that wasn't standing, walking, or leaning, basically.
Okay.
Like, he was pretty generous with what counted as working.
Fair enough.
Because, you know, and to be fair, it can take just as much physical exertion,
right, to sell something,
and take these hits.
Ziggler showing us that.
But even adding all that in, he was like, percentage-wise, The Rock is working a fraction of the match that he used to work.
Absolutely.
And, you know, let's, you know, be fair, The Rock is 10 years older than he was back then.
Right. I mean, The Rock is 40, almost 41.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of muscle, a lot of mass that he's carrying around now that he wasn't really carrying back then.
Right.
And
he's bulking up for Hercules right now.
Yeah, yeah, and that would explain why there's so much on his frame right now. And it's something that he can't really afford to lose for cardio, right, you know?
No.
So, I don't know. It's going to be one of those things where it's like they really want him back for this, but he's not in the best ring shape. I would be more excited to see what kind of condition he would be in for WrestleMania 30. Maybe then he could actually have... I mean, yeah, he's another year older. I don't know. Maybe he can slim down a little
bit. But he's not... I don't believe he would... He's not going to take that year to get in WrestleMania shape.
No.
He's going to be back and forth to be in, you know, G.I. Joe Goes to Hawaii shape, and then Fast and the Furious 7... Cars Take Over New York shape, and, you know.
Have you pitched these ideas?
Yeah, I'm pitching right now.
All right. When do we get to the Electric Boogaloo?
Oh, that was years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Scorpion King Electric Boogaloo. Absolutely watched that movie.
Fair enough. That was the prequel, right?
Yeah,
okay.
With starring Batista.
Yeah, okay.
Remember Batista was in Scorpion King, like, 3?
Yeah.
Wait, let me do it now. I gotta do it now. Scorpion King 3 is a sequel to a prequel to a sequel to a sequel to a remake.
What?
Because there's the original Mummy from the 30s, then there's the Mummy remake in the 90s, and the sequel is Mummy Returns, and then the prequel to that is Scorpion King, and then the prequel to that is Scorpion King 2, and then the sequel to that is Scorpion King 3, starring Batista.
You might have to draw a diagram.
I probably have drawn a diagram.
Draw a diagram and we'll throw it up on Tumblr.
Alright, fair enough.
Okay. That's not our wrestling Tumblr. That has nothing to do with the money.
Batista,
okay, never mind.
And The Rock.
I take it all back. I was wrong.
The Rock is in Mummy Returns and Scorpion King. So.
Congratulations.
But regardless of.
Regardless of whatever timeline of Scorpion King.
Universal franchise derailment. The thing is. If you go back, the first time we saw The Rock really in ring action since his return was that Survivor Series team up with Cena against right. Awesome Truth. And at the time, it was very much the reaction, general reaction, and you know, my personal reaction was Rock has still got it.
Right.
There is little to no ring rust on this man. He can move fantastic.
But when you go back and think about it, he did very little in that match.
He did. It was a very flashy, stylized, yep. Look what The Rock can still do.
Yep.
Style of match, which worked at that time. I kind of need that again to get me excited about The Rock.
Yeah.
You know, and even yeah. though, like, logically, it would be something where I could step up and be like, well, that's just to highlight. Like, for a gut emotional response, I need him to do something on Raw like that. I need him to have a match on Raw where he looks.
Actually, have Raw do something on free TV?
That's what it's to be excited about. WrestleMania, that's what I
agree.
Need.
I just, you know, that's just something I don't think they want to do. Him and Brock, I just don't think they'll ever have them do anything match-wise on free TV anymore.
I think that's a mistake.
Oh, I do too.
You know?
Those two guys plus Triple H and Undertaker are pretty much all that way.
Yeah.
Except Undertaker will just do anything on a dark show now.
Apparently so. But the thing is, like, the Undertaker has come out every year,
mm-hmm.
done what he needs to do. All you need is that gong hit, and I'm reinvested in the Undertaker.
Oh, yeah. But that's the uniqueness of his character.
Yeah, I have seen The Rock and am not excited about it.
Right.
So, and to be fair, like, I'm going to put Elimination Chamber as his second best work since his return. I mean, he's wrestled, like, 3 matches. So his work at WrestleMania last year...
Mm-hmm.
His Royal Rumble, his Elimination Chamber, and then like rock bottoming Mick Foley that one time.
What about the tag team Survivor Series?
I mean, I'll put tag team as number one just because like it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It got this like gut reaction. It's like, yeah, The Rock's back. No worries, Rock can move in the ring.
Right,
completely exactly what I want to see. You know, no time has passed on this immortal superstar who has not aged a day, even though he's aged 10 years.
Yeah.
But it got that reaction, and it made me genuinely excited. More than anything else in that year-long build-up, seeing The Rock in the ring again for that amount of time made me excited to see him at WrestleMania.
Alright.
And so, yeah. Something flashy like that needs to happen. And it has to happen on Raw, because everybody needs to be able to see it.
Right.
And... You know, and also, there's nothing but Raw in between now and WrestleMania, except for, like, NXT, and can you imagine if The Rock was on NXT?
Oh, dear God. Full Cell would explode.
I'd just be confused. I'd be more confused than excited.
Yeah, all the NXT guys just be kind of looking at each other like, can we get in trouble if we accidentally hurt him?
Did somebody tell The Rock the wrong address?
We know you like flooring all The Rock, but calm down.
So, you know, so that's really what I need from The Rock now. And to get, and this thing, Cena's done his part.
With the match against Punk, yeah.
Yeah, I am completely excited to see
it's
Cena.
It's that weird, we're back in that weird moment where I'm in Cena's corner, you
yeah.
know? Because that was me last year.
Yeah.
Because I was just so tired of everything The Rock was doing.
So, that's the thing about Cena. And even though I've spent the last month or so really starting to stretch my Cena sucks muscles, Like, no, Cena's bought some good time.
Yeah.
With that match. And so. Yeah. But yeah, move on to, I guess, what did you say, Taker?
Taker, just because we had Taker, he showed up in a house show over the weekend, and WWE leaked it out to everyone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, didn't hear anything from him on Monday night. Which I'm okay with, because I felt like the ending to the Punk Cena match was
exactly
what it should have done. But it's still confusing how they're doing this. And granted, I don't think WWE has shown any of the actual, like, because he was in, like, a tag team match with Sheamus, which is so dumb.
It's weird.
I know. But he had a tag team match. But the only thing I think WWE has shown is just the entrance.
Yeah.
At least they showed that tout video on Raw.
On Raw.
They did have more video on their YouTube channel, but I think they took it down like an hour later, which is also confusing.
Well, the thing is, WWE, I think, is kind of struggling to adapt in a world where people find out stuff without their say-so.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like, you know, it's easy to get SmackDown spoilers.
Right, like the Del Rio winning the championship.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And so they're just recently starting to acknowledge that they can't stop that, so they're doing stuff like they're breaking the news themselves. They're trying to control it on their own. Yeah. And so, you know, I suppose that they wanted Taker, either Taker wanted or they wanted to have Taker do some wrestling before fully announcing that he was going to be ring ready for 29.
Well, yeah, there's an easy way to do that. You go to a gym with a ring and you have some really, really incredibly dark matches with like Kurt or with Joe Henning or something like that, like what The Rock did. Rock just trained with guys and in a private gym.
Yeah,
he was ring ready.
I know. I mean, that's, you know, this thing is like they don't need to test crowd reaction to Undertaker. They know what that's going
to
be.
Not at all. Unless they want him to be like, hey, anything can happen at these house shows. Why don't you buy tickets for the house show? You know.
Yeah.
There's always that element as well.
I mean, I don't, that's, yeah. I don't really know. Wait a minute. I kind of get the whole, like, it's going to get out there that Taker wrestled a house show. We might as well say it so we can get a little bit of that Taker ratings boost.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, I mean, if you're going to put yourself in that predicament, why even have him on the house show to begin with? I don't. That's the part that I don't get.
Yeah, I don't
get that. I get why they put the video out just to control their own leaks to everyone else. But you could avoid that just by not having him show up at a house show.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's incredibly weird.
It is.
And
like, you know, I don't 100% know what they're going to do with Taker, but, like, I don't know of any, I can't think of any scenario where I'm like, oh, that makes sense why they did that. It's right. Probably just something that happened, and, like,
yeah, I mean, they were in Texas, and that's where he lives, and he was like, hey, let's do this wrestling thing one more time, you know?
So, I don't know. I mean, if rumors of Punk and Taker are true, then they seem pretty confident that Taker's good to go, because Punk is cleanly beaten out of the championship scene. So
yeah. He's gonna need something.
Yeah. We'll see. I am genuinely interested to see what a story build up between those two would be. Mm-hmm. And I pray it's not streak versus respect. Because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's a dumb idea, but
respect's not a thing. Does he want Undertaker's respect?
Yeah.
Does he want our respect?
I don't know.
What if we don't agree to this?
I mean, pretty
where
sure.
Is that our stipulation?
I mean, 75% of everything on WWE is pretty arbitrary, so, especially storyline-wise.
versus respect is
like a lawsuit is going to be like I've got a lawsuit against you. We're going to solve it by having a match. How does that make sense? Exactly.
It makes more sense than versus respect. Just because respect is not a tangible winner gets thingy.
Well, I mean, that's the way most of the championships or most of the matches are that don't involve championships.
No, stipulations are always like Street versus career. Somebody was losing something in that match.
Okay.
Custody of the child. Somebody was getting something in the match. As dumb as it was, somebody was getting something in that match.
The flaw in that is you're stated as winning as getting the child. I feel like that's losing. That's just me. I'm not here to force my own politics into this podcast.
Regardless. Yes, you are. That's the whole point of the podcast.
Absolutely.
The point is that there is a definitive, tangible prize for the winner. You know, the lawsuit one's kind of dumb because I guess they took away the lawsuit. Because otherwise, Brock Lesnar won the lawsuit because he won the match.
Sure.
So we should be watching Raw Super Show starring Brock Lesnar. And we should get that card.
We got it one time. I think the contract didn't stipulate, like, how many times. So they did that one time.
Just the one.
There you go.
So.
Bam, loophole right there.
I mean,
you just got Otunga'd.
Attorney at Rod.
Attorney at Rod.
Speaking of Brock Bartholomew Lesnar.
He has a middle name now, okay.
for this week.
All right, fair enough.
He came back, he headbutted a ring post.
And he bled all over the place.
my favorite comment about it. Okay, two favorite comments this week.
Okay.
One, announce tables should have been taking their vitamins lately. Because we have had a rash of announce tables not breaking.
Yes.
And the other one is, that ring post deserves merchandise for how badly it beat up Brock Lesnar. So
it was taking lessons from that broom.
Yeah, Triple H's broom. His sworn nemesis.
Oh, God.
But, jeez, that was a lot of blood.
That was a lot of blood. I'm pretty sure that wasn't planned.
No.
Always,
I need to give out a little bit of respect, because, you know, every time they bleed like that, they always carry on with the story. And
yep.
I'd cry like a little baby in the corner. So,
oh yeah.
You know, so well done, Brock. I'm actually, this more or less made me excited for this match.
Yeah, I mean, because...
And not stoked for it.
Right, because,
but like,
you know, we still have that sour taste from SummerSlam.
Yeah. But more excited than I really ever thought I was going to be, you know?
Right. I mean, it did a good job in getting us somewhat invested compared to... You know, just not really giving a crap.
Yeah. I would totally keep the involvement of Paul Heyman and Vince McMahon. Because we know...
Be a good backdrop.
We know that Brock needs a mouthpiece. And I think...
And just have Vince to kind of balance it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
I agree. Because essentially, they're the core of the problem right now.
Yeah.
Like, the core of whatever issues is being exercised right now, it's solely between those two guys... These guys are just pretty much the muscle. They are the bots in the battle in the
Battle of the Billionaires.
I was going to say the battle bots, but okay.
Okay, I mean that's what it is again. It's Battle of the Billionaires, except Paul Heyman's Poe.
Well, yeah.
So
I was going more for, you know. Never mind. I was going in my head. I was thinking Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Later. Oh,
for some reason I kept saying battle bots.
Okay. All right, yeah, no, that's what it is. It's Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's not been a satisfactory story-ending thing between Vince and Paul. Kind of the way that there's an easy way to have a story-ending feud between Vince and Bret Hart.
Right.
Like... You know, there is this legitimate long-term beef between Paul Heyman character and Vince McMahon character because of ECW.
Right.
And I think it's easier and more interesting to play off of that than to try and have some "you beat me last summer" stuff from Triple H.
Yeah, it adds a little bit more element to it, because their original storyline was so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
That
being said, I really don't feel comfortable with Vince being a face in this. It just feels weird.
But I am also pretty much guaranteed that Triple H will lose.
What?
Because anytime Vince McMahon's involved in anything, Vince is always going to be on the losing side.
But that's because he's always been the heel.
True.
But, and that's the thing, you know, as much as, like, the Undertaker streak should always be something in O, I really like Vince's streak being O in something.
Right.
You know, for Vince to, quote unquote, even if he's, you know, not the winner, and, you know, he's not the in-ring competitor for this match, I like Vince always losing at WrestleMania. I like that.
That element.
Yeah. And that's because he's a heel, and that's because, you know, WrestleMania is the moment where he gets to have, you know, the audience comeuppance, and Vince finally gets what's due him. And so, to have him be the face now, it kind of...
So, it really comes down to a which would you rather. Would you rather have Vince be an integral part of the storyline, or would you rather have him not involved at all and not be the face? In this story.
I think I said it in a column either last week or the week before. What I would like is Vince involved, be the face, Brock wins, the stipulation is for the company, Paul Heyman, after WrestleMania, owns WWE.
Alright.
That's my, if that happens, everything's totally worth it. I will happily pay you money for a Triple H and Brock Lesnar rematch.
Just with the outcome being Paul Heyman owns the company?
Yeah. And then he's your heel in charge again.
Yeah,
Which I've...
It's something that they've been trying desperately to have.
I mean, I've vehemently stated that you should always have a heel commissioner.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, we kind of had... Vicky's just kind of, like, in the middle now. She's not really...
Yeah.
...airing one side or the other.
She's being fair... She brought back Chris Jericho.
She brought back Brock. He's a heel, but
yeah,
she
brought him back. You know, excited.
Mm-hmm. She's been dealing out punishment for heels.
Yeah. Brad Maddox is insanely entertaining.
He is. He sure is.
So, you know, I'm excited. I'm cheer-worthy excited to see them on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And I should be boo-worthy excited. For making up words, but that's, you know.
Boo-worthy.
Yeah.
All right. I'll accept it. I'm fine with it.
My point has been well communicated.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, I'm using fake words. But, and part of me is also like, if Vicky is not in a role where she's getting that heat that she can get, you're wasting Vicky.
Oh, yeah.
And you have so many... like, third-string heels that could, you know, propel to the top. I give a lot of Ziggler credit to Vicky. Where Ziggler is now, like, he's a hard worker and props to himself, but...
Character-wise, he did a lot. He did a lot developing in his time with her.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of what they're trying to do here with Brad Ox.
I mean,
good on him, because, I mean, it worked. And
it worked for him. It really worked for Edge, too. Like,
It did.
You know?
It just didn't work for that one random dude that Vicky managed for, like, a month in between Edge and Ziggler. I couldn't even tell you the name if I wanted to.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but, like, think back to Dolph Ziggler, like, right at the beginning of Vicky and a little before that. Like, he's a joke character.
Yeah, he'd just walk around like, hi, I'm Dolph Ziggler. Like, that's all he would do.
And so, and he's a guy who...
He gets squashed like crazy.
You know, plenty of us want him to be WWE champion.
Right.
So, I think Vicky and Brad Ox need to not be in that managerial position. If you want Brad Ox to be the next, you know, person to grow under Vicky, fine. He's probably a perfectly good contender.
Oh, yeah.
But that's where Vicky needs to be, and you need somebody new to be... in charge and unfair to the faces, and I would totally accept Paul Heyman in that
situation. I would too. Oh yeah.
So that's my dream goal for using Vince. The other option is to have Vince turn heel, have Paul Heyman turn face. I don't think you have enough time to do it.
No.
But it would let you have Triple H be heel. I think Triple H has a really good heel run in him that I would really like to see.
And then in that case, we would get the heel man guy in power.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, you still get the heel guy in power. It leads to, you know, it gives Brock a little bit of face touch exposure, which, you know, if I had the, you know, the final say, I would throw Rock and Brock to be a face versus face situation.
Right.
Just because there'll be enough guys in either one of their corners that I don't think trying to persuade boos and cheers one way or the other is in any way beneficial.
Right.
I think you just want loud reactions for both of them.
You don't care what you're saying, just say it loudly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of what they were shooting for with the first Once in a Lifetime match last year.
Right.
And did fairly well with that.
Yeah, because, I mean, there are two guys that they refused to turn either one heel, but you still got a loud reaction from the crowd for both of them.
And I think that is a great way to end WrestleMania each year, with a main event of a face versus face.
Right.
And because you don't get a lot of face versus face situations, but that's the big playground argument.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a lot of what was behind Rock versus Stone Cold.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And so to put that as your main event, WrestleMania, it's a big deal each year, no matter who you have doing it.
Now, please tell me that you're just as excited about the possibility of this as I am. The return of Cena fan at WrestleMania.
Green shirt guy?
Green shirt guy.
Green shirt guy!
Don't you so wish that he's going to be back, like, front and center?
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, dear Lord, with the glasses and everything.
Yeah, man.
Just hands on his head. What is happening? Yes. Yes, I want that kid to be back.
Yeah. No, green shirt guy was...
We really need to go to a WWE show and just do something completely outlandish so we're that guy.
I don't know. I think it takes over. Like, I read an interview with Brock Lesnar, Markout Man.
Yeah.
Who, you know, for those who don't know, did the, like, pelvic thrust.
The pelvic thrust of
Which then got replayed in every Brock Lesnar Has Returned promo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fairly big super fan. Like, he flies around the country going to several shows. And he's said that, you know, now he always wears that shirt, so he's more recognizable.
Right.
But he said that, like, the camera guys recognize him and seek him out, and, you know,
right,
to get him on camera more. So you got to really kind of earn your places. A known fan. But there's, like,
him. I still think we have a shot if we carry out what we said on Monday night.
Yes,
this
Monday night, Randy Orton ran into the audience and did his pose, which looks like... don't do the pose. That does no good on a podcast.
They can totally see me!
Chris is doing the anybody want a hug pose that Randy Orton does when he's standing on the...
Or
on
this the is the... Joel is angry and making a point.
Yes. Yeah, I do that pose when I'm trying to make a point.
Yes.
But it's also the beginning of the YMCA.
Right.
And to stand out in the audience right next to a whole bunch of fans, we really wanted the fans to MCA.
Right next to him. But nobody did. Everyone just kind of stood there like a putz.
So everybody who stood around Randy...
Boo!
On Monday...
Boo!
You dropped the ball.
All of the balls.
You were handed the ball...
Even the balls you had are gone.
Soft, easy, over the plate, you dropped it. So
we mixed kind of a few metaphors there.
We did.
But it's okay.
Think about
it. Still, the point's still there. Balls were dropped, and not in the good way. Not in the manly way, either.
For Shazam. All right. That's kind of it for Monday night for me. Like, other stuff that happened, there was a blindfold match I didn't care about.
So that's pretty much everything that
mattered to me.
Right. There was that video of Michael Cole trying to get an interview with Glenn Beck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we kind of did sidestep everything that's happened to Jack Swagger this week.
I mean, people pretty much know. We've talked about it pretty well at length last week.
Yeah. I am a little surprised that they're really sticking with this storyline and it didn't get dropped due to Swagger's arrest.
And I think a lot of that has to do with Glenn Beck making his comments, because that happened after he... after Swagger got arrested.
I
feel like they're trying to, like, sweeping everything under the rug and concentrate more on the whole Glenn Beck thing.
Yeah, there's so much... I mean, you know, that plays right into WWE's hand. They love reactions.
Oh, dear Lord, yeah.
And this is getting the exact reaction they want.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, this is total work. You know, Glenn Beck's in the tank for him. They're going to do something at WrestleMania. I don't know, but this is interesting, and I would...
If Glenn Beck...
I would be very interested
does something at WrestleMania. What?
I would actually see, like, a face... I would love to see a face-to-face interview with him and, like, Michael Cole or something like that.
Yeah, because...
Because Cole can, like, he could pull his, you know, legit reporter...
Michael Cole's my new favorite guy after, you know, when he went on and defended Jerry going in-ring.
Yeah!
Like, God, that man...
It's those moments where you're like, oh, yeah, he was a legit reporter at one point.
Yeah. Like, he eloquently mopped the floor with everybody.
Yeah.
At that round table, so...
I would love to see him and Michael Cole verbally go one on one, verbally.
I would pay WrestleMania money for that
to see them have to be talking about.
Well,
you know how, like, what was it? I think before the Super Bowl, the past few years, they had like a 10-minute sit down with the president.
Yeah,
and just talking like, you know, domestic policy and stuff in the economy, blah blah blah. I would love to see that, like, a pre WrestleMania. It's like, okay, here's your actual important stuff for the day.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'd take it.
Yeah.
So,
wrestling fans would hate that idea.
I know, right?
Absolutely. That's the dumbest idea I've ever come up with for wrestling fans. They're going to chew that up. Okay. Hey, I'm throwing a spitball in here, okay? Leave me alone.
Whatever. Clearly, if they can get this kind of noise, Jack Swagger's not going anywhere.
And, like, they knew when to piss off the right people at the right time.
Yeah.
They're getting publicities out of every orifice.
I have heard rumblings that this is a test run to go to a more TV-14 format.
Everyone's been saying that.
Hitting a controversial button.
Anytime they do anything that's outside of what's been the status quo lately, everyone's like, oh, okay, this is going to be the first steps in going into TV-14. You know, they said the same thing about the Punk promo.
I mean... I do believe that. I believe that there is that we are going to hit a more controversial product sooner rather than later.
Right. I mean, they've been easing it in. Like, we're getting more and more of that than we used to.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's not very overt or in your face or anything, but
But that's good.
It's a very gradual change. Which,
like, I don't want to go back to the shock value that the Attitude Era had.
And let's be honest. Let's be all completely honest. Was that aspect of the Attitude Era all that good? I would say no. I would say that was probably the worst thing about the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
The best thing about the Attitude Era was mainly the characters.
The best thing about the
storylines were horrible.
Best thing about the Attitude Era was the number of high-profile characters.
Yes, there we go. That's what I was saying, yeah.
The worst thing about the PG era is not that it was PG. It's that Triple H, John Cena, and Randy Orton circulated the championship among those three guys for 2 years.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
but, I mean, as far as, like, the stories and stuff that they would try to get the shock reaction out of were absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
So,
I would rather see them...
We're going to piss off a lot of Attitude Era fans. But I don't care. It's the truth. They need to hear the truth, Joel.
Sure.
I need to give them the truth, Joel.
All right. I'd like to be tried separately in this case.
Okay, all right. So whenever you type out your hate mail, make sure you specifically address them to Chris. Abby?
I mean, well... No, I'll half back you on that.
Oh, thank you so much.
From a distance.
Oh, thank you. Oh, we are a unified team here.
My point is that what they should be striving for, what was so good about the Attitude Era, was that, you know, there were so many people who felt main event level. Mankind, right, and Stone Cold and Triple H and Shawn Michaels and The, mm-hmm, Rock and Bret Hart.
And yeah, it was just a constant rotation of, you know, guy stepping up, had his time, now he took a step down for the next guy, he comes in. You know, it was kind of like a rotation. Now, there were times where certain guys got more spotlight than others. That had more to do with backstage politics, whatever. But still, we just seemed to have a bigger pool of, you know, upper card talent.
Yeah. And I feel like we are not far from that being a possibility.
Oh, yeah.
I think
the guys that are coming up now have a lot of potential.
I think you handle the Shield right, you have, mm-hmm, three genuine superstars.
Right there. Oh, yeah.
Who will sit at the top of the pyramid for a long time.
Maybe have Roman Reigns take a promo class. I'm just throwing that out there. But other than that, that's his one weakness, I think.
Yeah, but his work on Monday was significantly better than his work in November.
It was less awkward. I'll give him that.
Okay, but he has made that great of a stride in 3 months.
All right. I mean, I'm not saying it's horrible. I'm just saying that he needs to work on that a little bit more.
I mean, and he will never, you know, he will never captivate the audience with a Punk or a Dean Ambrose-like promo, but he is miles ahead of Brock Lesnar. And he's, you know, and that's really where he should be aiming, is the new Brock Lesnar, the new guy in that, you know, that style of power man,
yeah,
wheelhouse kind of thing. And he is miles ahead of anywhere Brock Lesnar ever was. So I have no qualms about Roman Reigns holding a mic every now and then.
Fair enough.
But like, you have those guys, you could sit Ziggler on top for 3 years.
Yeah, I could. But then again, you know, Ziggler's not that young himself either.
That's why I said 3 years.
Oh, fair enough. All right.
That 3 years is how long you should be a top guy. You know, that's
around in these days. Yeah.
You know, Cena's been top guy for 8, 9.
Right. Maybe. I mean, you're going to have like one of those major guys who's going to be on top for a long time.
Okay, but Rock was about 3 years, and Stone Cold was about 3 years.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Hulk was 15 years.
Well, yeah, because that was a whole different.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like that was a different ball game back then. And I think 3 years is a good time. It gets people to retire while they can still play with their grandkids someday.
Fair enough.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's really where they should be at. That CM Punk has pretty much come out and said, you know, not quite, but he's pretty much come out and said that he's retiring in 2015.
Right.
And as soon as that is, and I don't like it, like, that makes sense.
Right.
You know?
And that is, I mean, it's still a long time
from
now, so we still got plenty
good
of time.
Good 2 to 3 years away from now, and you can, mm-hmm, get a lot of good CM Punk. And don't ever drop him back to mid-card. Like, he can carry anybody in a main event feud, I feel. So, you know, the 2 weeks ago we were going into great detail, we were sticking him with Sin Cara and Great Khali, but like, you take him, anybody in upper mid-card to main event, it's a main event feud with CM Punk. Easy, no question.
I can stay behind that.
You get another good 3 years out of Daniel Bryan.
I think so, yeah.
I don't know about Kane. That dude keeps coming back.
Right.
You might get another good 3 years out of Kane.
You never know with that guy, man. So, I thought he was done like 2-3 years ago.
I did too. God, man. So, but each of these guys is like right on the cusp of being able to hit main event feud status and they should be getting a main event level reaction when their music hits.
Right.
And that's, you know, really that's what you need from the Attitude Era. Personal preference, I really liked the McMahon family.
Right.
That was some of my favorite Attitude Era stuff. Just like...
Yeah.
Crazy, weird politic problems and family problems and, you know, soap opera drama, basically. And so, personally, I'd get a kick out of more of that. And, you know, there's not a lot of that right now. A lot of the stuff that's going on in the ring is professional, is, you know, people wanting the same title, or even just people not liking each other, or people disturbing other people's matches. What, yeah. You know, part of what I really liked about AJ is this weird, crazy backstage problems, which is a little reminiscent of what was going on. I think that there could have been something pulled out of that with the Zack Ryder Eve John Cena thing if that crowd did not react so negatively to that.
To Eve, yeah.
And they had to get Cena out of there because they could not risk boos for Cena that close to WrestleMania.
Right.
And they had to throw Eve on the sword. And so, you know, that got dropped there.
Pretty sure that's a euphemism for something.
No, not digitally.
Well, yeah, I know.
But, you know.
Still, well played.
But Zack Ryder has also tripped and fallen on that same sword. Because last time you've seen Zack Ryder do something. Exactly.
Yeah.
Long, long thought noise. But that's about it for me this week.
That's it for me as well.
Rock on. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire, every single week on Mondays, Sundays when it's appropriate.
If you have any thoughts, questions, anything you want us to address here on the show, you can email us at classofringattire@gmail.com. Send me your hate mail.
Yeah, tell them how cool the Attitude Era was.
Attitude Era sucks.
Attitude Era doesn't suck.
I know that, but it's called getting heat, Joel.
Did you really like how the NWO went all the way to the end?
No. Screw the NWO.
We also have a Tumblr, classyringattire.tumblr.com, where you can find old episodes of this podcast, as well as charts depicting the Mummy franchise.
I better see that on Tumblr.
Alright.
Alright. And if you are listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Comments. Finally, we are officially in the iTunes store. You can find us there. You can click subscribe. You get new episodes every week. You can also maybe, I don't know, write a review. Maybe give us a rating.
5 stars!
It'd be super cool.
5 stars!
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.